The following live presentation by Rabbi David Aaron is brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To learn more about Israelite, please visit our website at www.israelite.org. Additional contact information is available at the end of this presentation. Thank you for learning with Israelite and enjoy the experience.
Chanukah Sameach. I can assure you I'm very Sameach to see so many wonderful people joining us at Israelite. First of all, I want to thank Rabbi Mutl Wolf for doing a fabulous job. Also, great musician Naftali Abramson. And also, this event has been generously sponsored by our birthday girl, Lisa Mechanic. So you can really thank Lisa because she's the one that really made this thing happen. So we really owe her a big mazel tov and a big happy birthday. And we're so happy you were born. Thank you.
And I thanked my mother also.
Right. You were born in Hanukkah?
First day
of Hanukkah. Wow. Great. Okay. That's right. You save on candles that way. You're kidding. Whoa, and there were 8 kids? Boy, how your mother worked that out. That's family planning. Wow. Yeah. Beautiful. Anyways, whenever you do a talk, the introduction is pretty fatal. And I like to find a good joke, so I went on Google and I Googled Hellenistic jokes. And I found a couple of jokes in Greek, which I would like to share with you in its original Greek. Well, you probably don't understand Greek as well as I do. So I'm going to translate this original Hellenistic joke into English. So the joke goes like this. So I guess this is going back to the time of the Hanukkah story. So you have Moshe Schwartz, who goes to his Greek doctor, Dr. Antigonos Mishugas. And he's having his annual checkup. So he says, and Moshe Schwartz was like about 70 years old. So he says to his doctor, he says, Doc, what's my chances of living till I'm 100 years old? So Dr. Mishugas says to him, he says, well, tell me, do you indulge in fatty foods, ice cream and steaks? He says, oh, no, Doc, I don't do that. So what about smoking and drinking hard liquor and all this? Oh, no, no, Doc, I stay away from that. He says, what about your sex life? You have a wild kind of sexual life. He says, oh, no, no, Doc, I don't do any of that either. So the doctor looks at him and says, Moshe, why would you want to live till 100? The truth is that that very much captures what Greek culture was all about, even though it sounds very similar to the culture that we are presently finding ourselves in today. What are we actually celebrating on Hanukkah? What really is the point of Hanukkah? It seems to be two very different, separate kinds of miracles. One is the miraculous military victory of a very small group of people who were able to beat the mighty Syrian Greek army. That itself is an incredible miracle. But the other miracle is this kind of strange miracle, which is that they went in to find some oil, and they only found one canister of oil that was not contaminated by the Greeks. Okay? And that one oil could only last for one day. Right? And strangely enough, miraculously, we are taught that this one little canister of oil lasts for 8 days, which gives them enough time to create more new oil, which is pure. Okay? The two miracles seem to have, at first glance, nothing to do with each other. And they're also extremely different because one, a military event, we can understand, is necessary. It's absolutely critical to the survival of the Jewish people. But what's so important about this little canister of light lighting for 8 days, and it also seems like a kind of an unnecessary miracle. I mean, I can understand Hashem doing miracles for the Jewish people when we are about to be destroyed, whether spiritually or physically, but you know, like you don't have enough oil to last you. And the truth is, according to Jewish law, that if the entire temple is contaminated, and the people are already in the state of contamination, then you actually can light the chanuk, you can light the menorah in this contaminated status. So the truth is, they really didn't need this miracle. It was a luxury, okay? But the question is, really, was it a luxury, or are these two miracles actually part of the very same victory of the Jewish people? And it really is. The lighting of the Hanukkah candles really epitomizes the real battle and our victory over Greek culture. And every time we light those Hanukkah candles, we continue to win that battle, because I want you to understand that the battle against Greek culture and Greek thinking continues to be waged today. Okay? Because essentially, who are the Greeks? The Greeks were extraordinarily advanced in philosophy, ethics, art, music, technology, of whatever that was, science, right? They're very advanced people. And yet when you think about it, why did we bother them so much? Right? We're pretty advanced people. Actually, I think we're one of the most advanced peoples in the world. But we're advanced in a different kind of technology. We're advanced in a technology called the technology of holiness. And the technology of holiness not only does not interest the Greeks, but it totally annoyed them, right? In fact, I think, simply put, the Jewish people throughout history have been what we would possibly call party poopers, right? That's what we are. We are annoying. What is it about us that's so annoying, right? What we do very well is we generate an interesting quality called guilt. Yes. Guilt is something that Jews do very well. They make people feel guilty, not only amongst ourselves, not only does the Jewish mother say to her son, pack your bags, we're going to go on a guilt trip, but the Jewish people throughout history, we have been, right, we have put our patent on guilt. We make people feel guilty. Why do we make people feel guilty? Right? Because we have the standard of living that basically challenges the philosophy that you can do what you want, where you want, how you want, and that this world was created for your needs and for your satisfaction, for your pleasure. And that the Jewish people say, no, there's certain things that are out of limits. Ein reshut lishtamesh behem. There's certain things in this world that you are not privileged to use. Right? And that's just totally unacceptable. I want you to say that the Greeks are really no different than the Nazis, except that the Nazis decided to kill us completely. The Greeks thought all they wanted to do is destroy our spirit, but maintain our body. But essentially, if we want to understand the Greeks, then Hitler can give us a great insight of what Greek philosophy was then, and what Greek philosophy, or Hellenistic philosophy, or hedonistic philosophy, or whatever crazy philosophy there is today, right? I think Hitler put it really well, if you will allow me to read a little Hitler to you. Right? This was from a rock song. I'm just joking. This, it is true we are barbarians. That is an honored title to us. I free humanity from the shackles of the soul, from the degrading suffering caused by the false vision called conscience and ethics. The Jews have inflicted two wounds on mankind, circumcision on its body and conscience on its soul. They are Jewish inventions. I would say the Greeks would have said the exact same thing. Right? The Greeks made circumcision forbidden. Why? Right? What do you care if Jews are going around doing things like that? I mean, it's a strange thing to do, right? If that's what turns you guys on. Okay? Why does it bother you so much that we're circumcising our kids? Right? What did the Greeks forbid the Jews to do? They specifically went after circumcision, Shabbos, right? Kiddush HaChodesh. They didn't want us to sanctify the new moon. Like, but that bothers you, right? They didn't want us to learn Torah. And they did something that is absolutely extraordinarily cruel. They had a decree that every woman, after she gets married under the chuppah, she would then have to be intimately with the Greek governor of the locality. Right? So you can imagine these girls after the chuppah. Why after the chuppah? Why not before their chuppah? Because the Greeks were against Kedusha, right? And this is a war between nature and holiness. That's what this is a war about. And what is the difference between nature? And what is the difference between holiness? But the Greeks were against Brit Kodesh, Shabbos Kodesh, Kiddush, Kiddush HaKodesh, right? The Kedusha of learning Torah, and Kedushin. That after a woman performs an experience of Kedushin, we're going to show you what Kedushin is. We're going to show you what marriage is. And this poor girl would have to be sexually with this Greek governor. Right? What is it all about? So Hitler continues. Going against nature brings ruin to man. It is only Jewish impotence to demand that we overcome nature. And that's exactly the point. The point is the war between nature and Kedusha. The point is the war between nature and transcendence. Right? The Jews brought to the world an extraordinary idea called Kedusha. That we can and we must surpass ourselves. Whereby the rest of the world says, no, we are simply animals. And doing what comes naturally is exactly what we're here to do. And this world is here for our pleasure. There's three ways of looking at the world. You can look at nature as its power. You could look at nature's beauty. Right? Or you could look at nature's grandeur. Right? Power and beauty is about your power, how nature can be exploited. Beauty is how nature can be enjoyed. But grandeur, that's a Jewish thing. Sensing the sublime, allowing nature to take you beyond nature, to inspire within you a sense of awe, a sense of humility. That Greek culture had nothing to do with. In fact, we're against. Right? Here you have this extraordinary people, the Jewish people, who live this life of holiness, who live this life of purity, and they're in a world where that's just ridiculous. This world is here for our pleasure, and this world is here for our enjoyment, and this world is here for our exploiting. Right? But Kedusha, that's crazy. Right, I once did a Shabbaton in New York City, and I was feeling we had this incredible Shabbos inside this shul, and then we went out onto Broadway on Friday night, and suddenly the contrast was so shocking. There was such an incredible holiness in this room, and then we walked out, and like, I was trying to understand, what is it that I'm feeling here on Broadway? Suddenly I look up, and I see this huge billboard publicizing the new latest Broadway comedy. It's called Nothing's Sacred. I said, isn't that amazing? This is like Rashi commentary on Broadway. Nothing's sacred. Right? What makes something sacred? Because Jewish life is all about the celebration of sacredness. And Greek is all about the destruction of sacredness and the sense that sacred will undermine the joy, the pleasure of our lives. What makes anything sacred? I once had a student who told me that he believes that his father was the most ethical person he's ever met. And he does not believe that if his father would have learnt Torah or lived the Torah lifestyle, he would have been any more ethical. So I said to him, I said, do you think your father would have been holier? She said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, see, that's the mistake people make. People think that Judaism is about being ethical. The goal of Jewish life is not to be ethical. There are other cultures. The Greeks had ethics. Right? So what is Judaism about? People think, I'm a good person, I don't need Judaism. Judaism isn't about being a good person. It's about being a holy person. Now you can't be a holy person if you're not ethical. And you can't be a holy person if you're not good. Right? But you could be good, and you could be ethical, and not be holy. When we do a mitzvah, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav, when we're about to do a mitzvah, we do not bless Hashem saying, you have made us into good people. You have made us into ethical people, and therefore you commanded us to light these Hanukkah candles. These Hanukkah candles don't make us ethical. They don't turn us into good people. You should actually be an ethical good person before you light those Hanukkah candles. Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah. You should be a mensch before you get the Torah. And you could be a mensch without Torah. Right? But sacredness, that's a whole different story. What it means to live a life of sacredness, of holiness. And that's what Jews are about. It's about transcending our nature. Hitler believes, and the Greeks believe, that all you got to do is do what comes naturally. And in the jungle, if a lion eats a lamb, that's okay. That's ethical, because that's what we're in. We're in the laws of the jungle, so we can do whatever we want to. And to be who we are naturally. The Greeks felt that the Jews were destroying the world because they were destroying the world of nature. And the Jews were doing things that was irrational. The Greeks believed that the world is founded upon wisdom. And what you do is what's logical. And the Jews believed that the world is founded upon will, which means you do what God wants you to do. And even if God wants you to do something that doesn't seem in your mind in any way a benefit to you, that's what you do. Right? That's what you do. So Hanukkah, every time we light that Hanukkah candle, we continue to demonstrate the victory of the Jews over the Greeks and over their thinking, which continues to live and thrive today. Right? And the world has a challenge with the Jewish people. Not the whole world. There's a lot of very good people in the world. But there are those who find us so annoying, right? Even Jews find Torah Jews annoying. I remember before I immersed myself in Torah Judaism, so my family, we used to go to shul 3 times a year. Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur. Right? So I remember I was in this synagogue, it was Yom Kippur. And the rabbi got up and he said that we're going to be opening the ark, and it's according to Jewish law that one stands as long as the ark is opened. But since it is Yom Kippur, the ark will be open for a very long time. So if you're tired, you can sit down. This is what this rabbi said. It was not an Orthodox synagogue. Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, I mean, how long could the thing be open? You know? And anyways, I come here really 3 times a year to get God off my back. So, I mean, I'm not going to be stupid. I'm already here. I'll stand. What's the difference? Big deal, stand. Okay. So they do this very dramatic, beautiful opening of the ark, right? Everybody stands. And Rabbi says, "Will the congregation please rise?" So we all rise, right? And then, as soon as the ark is open and everyone rises, everyone sits down. Except my sister and I. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, I mean, look at that. I mean, what's the big deal? Well, just stand a little bit. So my sister and I stood there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half an hour, going nuts. My back is killing me. My feet are killing me. I'm thinking, how long can this go on for? And now you're even more embarrassed because now your ego's really on the line because you're the only idiot standing in this Israel shul, right? 600 people in shul, and you're standing like this, and now you're going to sit down, right? So I'm standing, and now I'm really praying. I never prayed so well in my life. Please close that ark. Please save me. Right? Finally, they closed the ark, and I dropped to my seat. You know, and I said, okay, God will definitely leave me alone this year. Right? I've already gone through hell. He won't send me to hell this year. Okay, the next day I went to school. The school I went to was like 95% Jewish, but it was not a Jewish school. And I get to my locker, and the guy sitting beside me who had his locker next to me, he had his head in his locker. As soon as he hears me coming, he pulls his head out. He looks at me and says, "You have to stand." He slams his locker and doesn't talk to me for the rest of the year. Right? He was sitting behind me. Right? Could you imagine how guilty he felt the whole time? Right? But that's the problem. The Jews have been standing and making everybody feel guilty. Because we do things that just so annoys people. We do things that are not natural. We do things that don't necessarily benefit us in some obvious way. We do things that aren't necessarily always of the greatest pleasure. But we do it because, not because it makes sense sometimes, we do it because it's the will of God. And when we're lighting those Hanukkah candles, we're doing something really extraordinary, right? We're saying, Hanerot halalu kodesh heim ve'ein lanu rishut lishtamesh behem. These candles are holy, and we're not allowed to use them. Would that make any sense to a Greek thinking? Candles that you can't use? Well, why can't I use them? Right? But that's the whole point. The point of Kedusha is it's not just for your use. Right? We're just going to look at them. The Greeks, they don't just look at the world. The world is there for either power or for beauty, but not for awe. Because what's there to be in awe of? What's greater than us? What's more important than my needs? What's more important than my satisfaction? So every time we light those Hanukkah candles, we win this war. We tell the world, a world that's based, unfortunately, too much of the world, not the whole world, but too much of the world, is based on this hedonistic thinking, this thinking of idolatry. You know, people think idolatry were a bunch of nutty people who bow down to rocks and bow down to trees. Why would anybody do that? Right? No, that's not what it's about. Idolatry is the deification of nature. It means that nature's is God. And whatever nature calls you to do, whatever you feel naturally within you, is okay, because you belong to nature. And the Jewish people said to the world, no, you can belong to supernature. And here we are. Here we are. That's, if we weren't belonging to supernature, we wouldn't be sitting here today. Because all the natural reasons for us to no longer exist have continually challenged us. And here we are today. The miracle. We don't exist because it logically makes sense. Our existence is completely illogical. And yet here we are today because we never based our existence on logic. We based our existence on God's will. So every time we light those candles are actually the military victory. The victory is those candles. You wouldn't have Hanukkah. It wouldn't have been enough. It wasn't this God said, oh, poor guys, you know, let me give them a little bonus here. They'll have some oil. No, it wasn't about that. When we light the candles, we are flying in the face of Greek thinking that you can have something from nothing. Right? That from one canister of oil you could have ate, that's just totally impossible. And for the Greeks, the impossible is impossible. And the Jews say, there's no such thing as the impossible, because the will of God runs this world. So Hashem should bless us all every time we light that candle. Right? We should look at those candles. We don't look at those candles because we're looking how to make fire, and we're not looking at those candles so we should just enjoy the beauty of candles. We look at those candles to inspire us with awe, with reverence, to realize that this is incredible. How could this be? We light these candles and we say to ourselves, Ein lanu reshut lishtamesh behem. These are candles that are not for us to use. It's all about the sacred light that fills our lives every day. Hanukkah Sameach.
One last thing. That's my birthday and my Aliyah. One more. There's a lot of people here. Yosef Betova should have a complete refuah.
Amen.
My father.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi Aaron. We're going to have latkes now and sukkahiyot.
This presentation by Rabbi David Aaron has been brought to you by Israelite, inspiring a renaissance in Jewish living. To access additional presentations from our online media library, order our best-selling books, or learn more about Israelite programming, including seminars, web-based learning, teleconferences, spiritual retreats, Shabbaton experiences, Israel missions, and leadership training, please visit us at www.israelite.org. That's www.israelight.org. You can also call us in New York at 212-947-4990, or in Jerusalem at country code 972-2-627-4890. We hope you enjoyed this presentation, and we look forward to learning with you at Israelite.